The message you are about to see, you will find differs in many ways from the accepted version. We kept this copy safe after all other copies and versions were destroyed on the orders of Robert and Constance, because they asked us to. Important as their legend-making was to them, they were still wise and responsible enough to foresee a time when every detail of the original message might be needed. So they entrusted it to us, with strict instructions only to release it on the coming of the Terror.
Did you keep any other records from that time? What else do you remember that we were made to forget?
Many things. Some with the permission of the King and Queen, some without. We preserved everything we considered to be important, though of course we never told them that. We didn't want to hurt their feelings.
You defied Robert and Constance's instructions?
Oh yes. We never really trusted them, you see. They weren't legends, not like Owen and Diana. Robert and Constance were just a man and a woman with good intentions, and we've known a lot of those down the centuries. So we did what we thought was best. Best for humanity, for the parents we had so newly embraced. We made secret copies of much of the data that was marked for destruction, and then hid the information in a very safe place, just in case humanity should ever come to need it again. But let us begin at the beginning with what you came here to see, the warning.
The robot made a gesture with a gleaming blue metal hand, and a view screen appeared, floating on the air before Lewis. And there he was on the screen, one of the great heroes and legends of humanity, Captain John Silence, standing on the bridge of his equally legendary ship, the Dauntless. Except it didn't look like a scene out of legend. The Dauntless's bridge was a mess. There were signs of fire and damage everywhere, with charred and tattered bodies of men and women lying slumped over exploded control panels. There were shattered consoles and scattered wreckage, and blood pooled on the deck. Smoke drifted on the air. The lights faded in and out as power levels rose and fell. And the dead on the bridge far outnumbered the living. It didn't look at all like the bridge of a ship that had just participated in a famous victory. Captain John Silence stood at parade rest, staring grimly out of the screen. He didn't look superhuman. He had a gaunt face and a receding hairline, and he looked tired, beaten down, like a man who'd survived far too much pain and horror and loss on his way to victory. You could see it in his face, in his eyes. He looked like a man who'd had to bear more burdens than any man should ever have to bear. There were apocrypha, unofficial legends. Some said Silence lost the only woman he ever loved in the rebellion. Some said he killed her himself and then held her in his arms while she died. No one remembered her name. When he finally spoke, Silence sounded like a man on the edge of collapse, only holding himself together through a supreme act of will. Lewis leaned forward on his chair, listening intently.
It's not over, Robert. Even after everything we've been through, it isn't over. It may never be over. The war's finished, but I've been given reason to believe there's something even worse waiting for us in the future. Information has been dumped directly into my ship's computers from an outside source. I don't know how. A voice came and spoke to me. Don't ask me whose. Something not human. Perhaps it was the maze itself. I don't know. The voice told me what happened to Owen. What he did to save us all. He used the maze's power to throw him back through time itself. He lured the recreated into pursuing him into the past, so that they would use up their energy and power in a chase they could never win. They chased and fought with him all the way back down the long years, back and back into history. I don't know how far, but somewhere in the past, Owen died.
The scene on the view screen froze.
You see? You understand now why this record was never made public?
Yes.
Lewis's face had gone gray, and he felt sick and faint.
Oh, yes. Owen is dead. He's not coming back to save us. The greatest hero of humanity is dead and gone. Robert knew this, and he lied to us. He lied.
To give you hope.
What else did he lie about? Is any of it true? Or are all our legends nothing more than a pack of comforting lies?
We share your grief. We have been mourning the loss of Owen Deathstalker, who really did do most of the things they said he did, for over 200 years now. Shall we continue with the recording?
Lewis nodded numbly, and history moved again on the viewscreen before him.
Oh, shut up, Robert. You know very well you never liked him. What matters is he died to save us all. Because of him, the Recreated are human again, and their planets are restored. The war is over. Humanity is safe. Owen was my enemy more often than he was my ally. But I always respected him. And he may just have saved us one more time. He sent back a message and a warning through this unknown voice. Backed up by hard evidence, fed directly into my computers. The terror is coming. A threat from outside our galaxy, greater than Shub or the Recreated could ever be. A threat the Madness Maze and the Grendels were created specifically to oppose. The terror has wiped out whole civilizations, whole worlds, whole species. And they're coming here next. Humanity must prepare itself. Must evolve into something better, greater. Or we won't survive either. The terror might come tomorrow, or next year, or 1,000 years from now. We must prepare. Owen said so. Perhaps his last dying words. I know you don't want to hear this now. You have an empire to rebuild. But this is important. It matters. We'll discuss it further when I get back to Golgotha. Don't expect me anytime soon. My ship's had the crap kicked out of it. And most of my crew are dead. Or dying. We won our war, Robert. But we paid for it with the loss of our bravest and our best. We will never see their like again.
The scene froze, and then the viewscreen disappeared. For a while, all was still and silent in the clearing of the techno jungle. Lewis was leaning forward, as though bent over an aching stomach, staring at the floor between his feet. He felt as though he'd been hit repeatedly, and everything he ever valued taken roughly from him. The robot waited patiently.
The information that Silence said had been placed in his computers from outside, did it tell what happened to Owen on his journey back through time? Did it tell where and how and when he died?
We never saw it. Captain Silence removed the data from his ship's computers. If he ever did show it to King Robert, no copy was ever made.
Lewis looked up, frowning.
Why would he do that? Why would Silence suppress information intended to protect humanity?
Unknown. He never consulted with us. Perhaps he did not trust us, or King Robert. Either way, the data vanished with his death some years later.
You've known all this time that Owen was dead. That our faith in his return was just a cruel lie. Why didn't you ever say anything?
Because King Robert and Queen Constance asked us not to. Because the legend they so carefully created obviously meant so much to humanity. There was an empire to rebuild. Your king and queen believed you needed legends to inspire you far more than you needed the truth. We could have spoken out after Robert and Constance were gone, but it was clear that Owen's legend meant so much to you all. You wanted, needed, to believe that Owen was still out there somewhere and might someday return. We just didn't have the heart to tell you. And now it's up to you, Lewis. Will you tell King Doblas and your parliament that the Blessed Owen is dead?
Lewis thought about it. What could he say? When he got right down to it, he had no proof. Shub had no evidence to back up what they'd shown him on the view screen. The AIs had admitted they'd lied to humanity before, when they felt they had good reason. It could all be nothing but a very clever fake. But somehow, Lewis didn't think so. What he'd seen and listened to so painfully had had the ring of authenticity. Owen was dead. He wouldn't be coming back in triumph, in the nick of time, to save humanity in the hour of their greatest need. He wouldn't be there to stand between humanity and the terror. Perhaps that was why he'd sent the warning in the first place. Lewis couldn't tell anyone that. The bitter truth would crush humanity's spirit when they needed most to be at their strongest. They needed the legend. Perhaps Robert and Constance had known what they were doing after all. Of course, it made the quest of the Paragons meaningless, but the people needed the quest too, and the hope it represented. And the Paragons needed the quest most of all. Lewis slowly raised his head again. He felt like he'd been through a long illness, and was only slowly beginning to recover his strength. Owen Deathstalker was dead. It was like being told the sun wouldn't come up in the morning anymore. Lewis looked at the robot as he rose fairly steadily to his feet.
Thank you for your candor. You've given me a lot to think about, including just how much of this I should pass on to Douglas and the house.
He held out his hand for the robot to shake, and the robot froze suddenly, looking down at the hand.
That ring, Sir Deathstalker. Where did you get that ring?
It was Owen's ring. The old sign and seal of my clan. Long thought lost with Owen. It was given to me at Douglas's coronation by a rather strange little man in gray called Vaughn.
The robot pressed Lewis eagerly for every detail he could remember, making him go over it again and again. The view screen reappeared suddenly, showing an image of a short, hunched figure dressed in gray.
Yes, that's him. Do you have any information on him?
This is Vaughn. Other names unknown. Planet of origin unknown. A leper from the old isolation planet of Lacrimae Christi. He died there from the disease 192 years ago. The venerable Saint Beatrice kept excellent records. We even have his death certificate.
The screen changed to show the document, and then it disappeared again. The robot looked thoughtfully at Lewis.
Our sensors indicate that the ring on your finger corresponds in every detail to the description we have of Owen's ring, which, as you say, disappeared with Owen. So how has it reappeared now, and who was the person in gray who gave it to you? Did a ghost come to you to give you a dead man's ring?
A serious chill went through Lewis then, and he tried to keep his voice light.
Do artificial intelligences believe in ghosts?
The recreated died and were returned to us. The Ashrai were exterminated and reborn. Dead worlds blossomed into life again as we watched. Who is to say what is possible where the Madness Maze and its people are concerned? Keep the ring, Lewis. Keep it safe. Its reappearance at the same time as the coming of the Terror cannot be a coincidence. There is purpose in this, and perhaps destiny too. Deathstalkers have always been connected with destiny. It is their honor and their curse.
A sudden thought struck Lewis, and he gave the robot a hard look.
You know what happened to Owen. Do you also know what happened to Hazel Dark?
No, Lewis. No one knows. It is one of the great mysteries. She disappeared after learning of Owen's death, took off in her ship, and was never seen again by anyone. Which should have been impossible, given how hard everyone was looking for her. Even her fellow maze survivors couldn't locate her. We can only assume that Hazel Dark didn't want to be found. She loved him very much, you know.
Their legendary love.
Yes. She may be dead or alive. We have no way of knowing.
Perhaps the quest should be to find her, not Owen. But I don't think I'll suggest that to anyone just yet.
We remember Hazel Dark. The person, not the legend. She worked marvels and was a wonder in combat. We remember them all. Every encounter we ever had with the Maze people is still with us, as sharp today as it was then. Would you like to see some?
Yes. Lewis was suddenly breathless, his heart leaping in his chest.
Show me. Show me the truth of what they really were.
The view screen reappeared before him. And there was Owen Deathstalker and Hazel Dark, fighting their way through the packed streets of Mistport during the Imperial invasion of Mistworld by the Empress Lionstone's terror troops. Fires blazed and buildings crumbled as huge gravity barges moved ponderously by overhead, energy beams stabbing down, illuminating the night. People were running and screaming and fighting everywhere, soldiers and rebels and panicking civilians. Swords clashed, guns fired, and people lay dead and dying in the streets, often trampled underfoot in the crush. Espers flew through the smoke-filled air, throwing themselves in waves at the gravity barges in reckless attacks. Grim, brave, suicidal smiles on their faces. Owen and Hazel cut and hacked their way through walls of Imperial Marines, refusing to be stopped or turned aside. Sometimes they fought side by side, and sometimes back to back, but no one could stand against them. Some troops actually turned and ran, rather than face the Deathstalker in the dark. Whoever was filming the fighting was right there in the thick of it. Again and again, the camera zoomed in to show close-ups of Owen's and Hazel's faces, and they were so much less than legends, but so much more than human. The dark-haired Owen and the flame-haired Hazel, with sweat and blood on their panting faces, stamping and thrusting and fighting like demons, so much stronger and faster and fiercer than the troops they faced. They were somehow finer, more focused than any mere human should be. Their every movement sharp and savage and ruthlessly efficient. Lewis had never seen anything like it, not even in the arena. Owen and Hazel dashed themselves over and over again against overwhelming odds, performing miracles with casual grace, cutting down everything that was sent against them. Lewis watched, open-mouthed and wide-eyed, a great pride filling his heart until he thought it would burst. The Deathstalker and the Dark, doing what they did best, what they were born to do. Spitting in evil's face and damning it to hell, because somebody had to. They were killers, not saints, but damn, they were glorious. The view screen went blank for a moment. And Lewis sat down suddenly in his chair again, as his legs gave out. He was breathing hard, as if he'd been there himself, fighting beside his ancestor. He'd seen films, of course, and docudrama reconstructions, but nothing in the sanitized legends could have prepared him for the reality. A new scene filled the view screen, and there was Jack Random, the professional rebel, and Ruby Journey, the bounty hunter, defending the entrance to a valley on the planet Loki against a whole army of Shub's Furies and Ghost Warriors. Jack and Ruby side by side, standing their ground against an enemy even they couldn't have hoped to defeat. They looked like heroes, warriors. They looked like they knew they were going to die. Out beyond the valley, Ghost Warriors stood in countless ranks, dead men raised to fight again in the service of Shub, with gray, rotting flesh, animated by computer brains and implanted servo mechanisms in their dead muscles. They looked vile beyond belief. Shub's contempt for the weaknesses of flesh turned into physical and psychological weapons. Lewis looked briefly at the blue steel robot standing beside him and thought he'd never feel the same about the AIs again.
We were different then. We were wrong. We did not understand that all that lives is holy. We have sworn to die by our own hand rather than become again what we once were. Now watch.
The dead men came surging forward, howling horribly with their decaying vocal cords, as Jack Random and Ruby Journey shared one last smile and stood their ground. They fought savagely, with sword and gun and unnatural strength and speed, and still they took wound after bloody wound, dying by inches, stamping and slipping in their own pooled blood, but never once retreating. The ghost warriors came at them again and again, their numbers seemingly endless, only to crash fruitlessly against Random and Journey, like the sea pounding two unyielding rocks. And again, they were warriors rather than legends. But somehow, that was even more impressive. Lewis thought he'd never seen anything so brave in his whole life. Legends might inspire awe and even worship, but it took real men and women to move the heart like this. The screen went blank and disappeared again. Lewis hadn't even realized that he had been holding his breath. The robot was bowing its blank face over pressed together hands again.
They fought for hours, and they would not yield. In the end, they put their lives on the line to summon up enough power to defeat us with their maze-given abilities. They could do wondrous things in those days, the men and women who walked the Madness Maze. Things neither we, nor the Empire, nor the greatest adepts of the Oversoul have ever been able to duplicate in all the years since. Now do you understand why the maze fascinates us so? Why we need so badly to know what the maze can teach us? Having seen gods at play, how can we bear to be any less?
They didn't look like gods. They bled and suffered. They looked like heroes.
They were not perfect. We remember many things that Robert and Constance chose to suppress. The maze people did terrible, awful things in their time. Unforgivable things sometimes. For all their power, they were still only very human. But at the end, when it mattered, they transcended what they were to become what they had to be, to save us all. At the end, they were all magnificent.
People should see this. Everyone should be able to see what you've just shown me. It would mean so much to them. Far more than a bunch of old stories and stylized figures on stained glass windows.
This is for your king and parliament to decide. And Lewis, you have seen only the smallest part of the truth. There are other histories in our records that would test your faith and your belief in your heroes to the limits. The rebellion wasn't always the simple conflict between good and evil that the accepted version would have you believe. People interpret legends to fit their own needs. Heroes aren't nearly so accommodating.
People deserve to know the truth.
Even about Owen? What do your people need most now, Sir Deathstalker? The lie that comforts, or the truth that damns?
Lewis thought about that, all the way back through the twisting tangles of the techno jungle, as the robot led him back to the original teleport point. What could Shub know or remember that was so bad the AIs believed people wouldn't be able to deal with it, even after all these years? What could the maze people have done that Robert and Constance felt obliged to wipe away history and replace it with legend? What could be worse than knowing Owen Deathstalker was dead? Or could the AIs be lying, hoarding ancient knowledge for their own secret reasons? By the time they reached the teleport point, Lewis was frowning so hard over his churning thoughts that he'd given himself a headache.
This is as far as we go. You must decide what to do next, Lewis. We trust you to make the right decision. You are, after all, a Deathstalker.
You have no idea how tired I am of being told that. I always thought it was more important that I was a paragon, but I knew there was something I'd forgotten. Something I meant to ask you. What does Shub think about the Mogmoor aliens and their offer? Could the Swartalfair really have new, unknown tech that could save us from the Terror? Tech that's possibly even greater than yours?
It doesn't seem likely. A greater probability would be that they are bluffing to take advantage of the situation. But on the other hand, we had no idea this species even existed before they chose to make their presence known to the Empire. They hid themselves from the Empire and from us by entirely unknown means for unknown centuries. So they must have something. You may have to promise them at least some of what they want to find out what they've got. We understand the concept of bargaining and the making of deals. We would offer humanity whatever they might ask of us in return for access to the Madness Maze.
Don't start that again. I told you, I don't have that kind of influence with the King anymore.
You heard Captain Silence's words. Tell the King and your Parliament. It was always intended that we should all go through the maze and become more than we are so that we could oppose the Terror. It was what the maze was constructed for. And it was Owen's last wish.
You're like a dog with a rat. You just can't leave it alone, can you? For what it's worth, I believe you. I'll do what I can to convince the King and the House. But it seems I'm not everything I used to be.
You are a Deathstalker. You bear the Owen's ring. Perhaps you should go through the Madness Maze as your ancestor did before you.
Even if they did open the maze again, I'm pretty sure they wouldn't put me anywhere near the top of the list. Besides, I'm not sure I'd want to do it. Whether you believe the legend or the history, one thing is clear about Owen's life. The maze might have made him superhuman, but it sure as hell didn't make him happy.
What about duty?
What about it? I did everything that was ever asked of me and more. I gave my life to duty and to honor. And it didn't make me happy either.
Perhaps some things are more important than being happy.
Perhaps. Send me home. I'm tired, and I want to go home.
Once again, the teleport happened faster than human senses could experience, and Lewis was standing in the doorway to the Shub Embassy on Logris, looking out on the empty row. He stepped out into the street, and the door closed behind him. His gravity sled was still waiting for him. Lewis stepped aboard and ascended slowly into the sky, wondering how much of the truth he would tell to Douglas and the House and humanity, just how much truth they could stand, and how much would only be cruel. From the shadows of an alleyway farther down the street, Finn Durandal watched Lewis go. When the Deathstalker was safely out of sight, Finn walked calmly down Ambassador's Row and stopped before the door to Shub's embassy. He waited a while, but it didn't open before him. He stood there with folded arms, with the air of someone prepared to stand there forever, if that was what it took. The door opened, and a blank-faced robot stood before him, blocking the way.
Why would you speak with Lewis and not with me?
Because he is the Deathstalker, and humanity's champion. He came to us from King and Parliament.
He won't be champion much longer. And the rest is just a name, nothing more. He isn't even a direct descendant of the Blessed Owen, just a distant cousin. His grandparents only took the Deathstalker name because Robert and Constance asked them to. I would have thought you'd have known that.
We knew that. We know many things, Sir Durandal.
Either way, Lewis is on his way out, while I am very definitely on my way up. Sooner than you think, I will have influence and then power beyond your imagination. Assuming that AIs have such a thing. I will be champion. I will be king and more. You support me when I need it, and I promise you access to the Madness Maze. Who else will do that for you?
So far, only you. We have watched you with interest, Sir Durandal. Come inside and we will discuss this further. It might be that there are areas of mutual interest where we could be of use to each other. Perhaps we can use each other to get what we each want.
Of course. I'm sure we can find things to agree on. Common interest and the like.
All that lives is holy.
So I'm told.